This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody. We're back with another episode of Real Wives in Radio. I'm Tanya.
I'm Dorothy.
And this is an exciting episode. This is a special episode. Not only are we spotlighting our dear coworker, Jason, who you'll hear later on, but also it is our Pride episode,
yes,
which we're super excited about because it is Pride Month. We're thinking, why not do a Pride episode?
Right? I mean, we need to get some more support and love out to the community. So,
Never have too much.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to Jason about it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to talk about the Pride events that we will have going on in San Diego, like the parade that's every year.
Right. There's so much to talk about, and I can guarantee you, every time we record a podcast, if I listen back or if I think back about what we recorded, I'm always like, oh, I should have said this. Oh, I should have not said this. Or I could have talked about this. There's just, you know, there's always things you can add. And I can guarantee you that this will be one of those episodes. There is just not enough time for me to give my thoughts and feelings on Pride.
Yeah.
So, and everything that goes along with that. So, let's catch up. How was your weekend? How's everything going?
Oh,
how's baby?
My gosh. Baby is really good. We did our 3D ultrasounds. So, I got to go back to my mom's house. I want to find a baby picture of me.
Okay.
Because I did a side by side with the baby and Steven.
Okay.
And then I want to put one like with our baby and me to see who the baby looks like.
Yeah.
But he was being a little bit of a butthead and like covering his hands with his face. Yes, we got two pictures. They're not even like that great of pictures, yeah, but you could kind of see his little nose.
Okay.
Which is super cute. But I mean, the whole hour, it was like trying to play music to get him to move.
Oh, does that work?
The technician said to play Baby Shark and he'll move a little bit for whatever reason. So I played Baby Shark and he moved a little bit. And then I was like, no, I know what song he needs. Because when I played it, he was moving. Okay. And dancing.
Okay.
Do you remember I was playing Maluma?
No, you're lying. You're lying. You played him Maluma and he moved.
The one about the foursome too.
Oh my gosh. I'm dying.
But that's such a great song.
It is a good song.
Good thing my parents and Steven's parents didn't know,
what it was about. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so we did get some pictures about that. And then my other baby, the OG baby, Kevin, my oldest nephew, graduated from college from UC Davis this weekend.
Go, Kevin.
It was a quick trip up to Sacramento. We stayed in downtown Sac. And then Saturday night was the graduation. And it was a cool one because not only did Kevin graduate, but his uncle did, Lou's younger brother, who's like in his mid-20s.
Uh-huh.
So they got to sit side by side, walk side by side.
Wow.
Lou's whole family was there. My whole family was there. We had like a big old lunch for 30 people.
I saw that. That looks like a normal Saturday for me.
Yeah,
just an average Saturday for me.
Right? We took up the whole entire restaurant. Like that was the only one that could fit us. And then I went to his ceremony and I wasn't expecting to feel so emotional, like when the music came on, the ba ba ba, and then all the graduates started walking out. Sis,
you lost it.
Tears,
yeah,
like nonstop.
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna cry right now thinking about it. Like it's so crazy. I did not expect it at all. Like I'm just so proud of Kevin, and he's just such a good kid. Like he's not even a kid anymore, he's a young man, you know, and to accomplish everything that he's done, to study so hard, to graduate in computer science with a minor in art, he still gets to do what he loves.
Wow.
And he's a good person,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
it's so trippy. Like he's the first person I know from birth mm-hmm. to see, born as a baby, as a newborn,
yeah.
into his adulthood and all the, like, I can't yeah. wait for you to experience it with
yeah,
your nephews.
I can't even imagine that. You're right. To see that journey.
Yeah.
From birth. From before birth, I'm sure. Because it's your sister's baby yeah. to now.
You know, I was aww. So proud. I was aww. Like, oh, that's my baby. Go get it. My sister and I, we were like both like.
Oh, my gosh. Good for him. Yeah. Congratulations to Kevin yes. and to your whole family. And that's a testament to your sister, too. And,
yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And whoever helped raise him, so.
Yeah. Oh, and we met his, he's got a new girlfriend.
Oh, he's got a girlfriend?
He's got a girlfriend.
You tell me that.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And?
We just met her because she graduated as well.
Okay.
And I haven't told him this, but I definitely stalked her on social
well,
media.
Well, duh. If you didn't, I was going to. Okay, go on. Surprised so, you didn't send me the handle on
know,
you know, through text.
I know. And so it was so funny because at the graduation, there's like a big old jumbotron that shows all the graduates. As they walk by and they called her name. I was like, I know that girl.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, wait, how do I know her? I was like, wait, that's Kevin's girlfriend.
Embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Before you've actually
Before
met her?
Before I even met her,
oh my
yeah,
God.
So,
yeah, that's happened to me many times.
We didn't meet her until after, you know, afterwards and everybody took pictures. She's really sweet. She seems really nice.
Okay,
you
good.
Know, it was a quick like, hey, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
Met her mom and dad and her brothers.
Okay,
and,
that's good.
She's got a small family. I bet she was super overwhelmed meeting all 30 oh. of our family.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and my sister, my mom, yeah, my mom's like, how come Kevin didn't introduce his girlfriend to us? I was like, Matt, like, chill, man.
I love your mom.
I know.
I love your mom.
She's like, well, we're the grandparents. He should introduce us right now, or your sister should. And I was like, go tell Sheila that. And my mom like got quiet real quick because she's
oh,
scared of
my,
Sheila.
Oh, my gosh. I love that she's scared of Sheila. That's yeah. hilarious. Yeah. Why?
Because Sheila gives zero yeah, yeah. Fs, you
no,
know?
I know. I love
and
her, too.
She'll tell her straight up, like, oh, no.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like, what? Yeah.
So, yeah, that was my weekend. How was yours?
Good. Oh, gosh. I'm like, what did I do? I didn't really do much, which is awesome. We had a free weekend.
For the first time ever.
For the first time in such a long time. Some plans kind of plans canceled for on Saturday. My mom's birthday was on Friday, but she didn't want to do anything. Actually, I did kind of have a free weekend. I was going to have a free weekend, which I was like really excited about. But then last minute on Friday, I got an invite to the Equality Awards in San Diego.
What is that?
Huge. Put on by Equality California. And okay, so this is how it happened. So remember Nora Vargas, who
yes.
we met and we had on our podcast?
Mm-hmm.
She's huge in the community. She's huge in South Bay. She's huge here in San Diego, and she does a lot of work here. So she was recognized with the Community Leadership Award.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so she was being recognized, and she had a table. So she had two people that canceled or couldn't come for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So she reached out and asked, would you like to be a guest? And I'm going to be serious and honest. I was on the treadmill when I got this invite, and I was just, this was my Friday, and I knew I wasn't going to do anything all weekend. And I just, honestly, my house has been a hot mess because we've just moved in, and we mm-hmm. haven't had time to organize because we haven't had time. So I was looking forward to that. And at first I was like, I don't know if I can. I'm so tired. I just don't know if I can. And then I decided I'm going to go because I'm like, let me just go. My best friend Sarah went with me, and we
oh,
went
nice.
With our other best friend Nevia, who assists Nora Vargas. And I am so, so, so glad that I ended up going because this was such a special event just to be in the presence of all the people there. And there was everybody there was some type of LGBTQ plus and everything in between ally, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and I've felt that before with the people that I've been with or in other things, but like to be at an awards ceremony put on by Equality California in San Diego. Was at Humphreys by the Bay. It was a
oh,
beautiful
nice.
Location. The drinks were flowing. The food was good. Jason Mraz received an award as well, and he also performed.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a huge, huge, huge event, and I just remember sitting there thinking, I almost didn't come to this. What a damn shame.
Yeah.
And I learned so much, and it just reminded me of why I stand for what I stand for, why I love who I love, why we do what we do and why I'll never stop fighting for everybody, you know, for equality, period.
Yeah.
Period. So it was a beautiful event, and I was just emotional throughout the entire evening. It was just.
Do they do this every single year?
I don't know. I know that they do these awards in different locations. I don't know if they do it every year in different, like, I don't know if they always do a San Francisco one, an LA one, a San Diego one. I don't know if they, I have no idea. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I didn't hear about it until I saw you post about it.
Right. I don't know, but Quality California has been around and working and organizing for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So they've been around for a very long time doing a lot of work. I don't know about the awards, but it was awesome. Todd Gloria was there.
I mean, love Todd Gloria.
Yeah, me too. I know. I was like, kind of like, I was just from the back, like waving, like, I want to say hi to you, but okay, you're not.
He's our state assemblyman, right?
I know. Yeah. And he's just such a good person. He's one of those people you get good vibes from, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. I met a lot of people. It was a lot of fun. Nora was so awesome. She was introducing me as Tanya from the Real Wives and Radio podcast.
I'm
like, look at Nora looking out for us. Nice. Okay. It was just fun. It was a great night. And I learned a lot. I remembered why. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful night.
Oh, good.
So that was Friday. So, and then I didn't do a damn thing the rest of the weekend, except
dude, you need that
shopping.
Though, honestly.
I know.
It's like just every, especially with summer coming around, I feel like there's always something going on. When I told you my baby shower is happening in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you're like, no.
Yeah, because June is jam-packed.
Right. But it's my baby shower is happening on Sunday.
Oh, thank
so
God.
We're okay.
Yeah, we were.
You can make it.
Yeah. It's happening this Sunday and I can't wait. But you got lucky.
I know.
You got lucky.
I know.
And that's because you told me like 2 weeks ago, sis.
Sis, I swear.
I know you said your sisters. I didn't see the invite. So.
Go talk to Sheila.
I know. She'd be like, so? She's like, that's because I didn't invite you. I'm like, oh.
Not everybody's scared of Sheila.
I know. But anyway, it was a good weekend. And it was perfect because it's Pride Month.
Yes.
So, and, you know, going to the Equality Awards and, you know, in San Diego and remembering all of that was just perfect and inspiring for this episode, which we're going to talk about our personal experiences with the gay community, period, mm-hmm. or learning about the gay mm-hmm. community or anything like that. And you know what? Those experiences are not always pretty. And
no.
We're going to share that. And we're also going to talk to Jason and spotlight him. So we want to talk to him about his journey coming out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he's got a really interesting one because he grew up the son of a preacher man.
Right.
On a Native American reservation.
Right.
Which is like, whoa, already interesting in itself. But then having to, you know, come out to your family on top of all that.
Yeah.
I want him to learn more about that and then how he got into radio.
Yeah.
And he's honestly the first openly gay person that I know that's been on radio.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, I can't think. Well, no, there is one other person, but that person was not very open when we worked with them.
Right.
So, but he has been out
and proud.
And loud on the mic.
Yeah,
so,
yes.
And I've always loved that and appreciated that. So we'll talk to him about that. Mm-hmm. And celebrate Pride.
That's right.
So I want to talk about, this is just something I was thinking about because, it is something I always think about, especially like going to the Equality Awards. I think about, you know, who I am and how I want to represent the community and always stand by them.
Mm-hmm.
And lately I've been thinking about it a lot too, because I've put you on Pose, actually you and Jason on Pose.
I love
which,
that show,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, if you don't watch, please watch. It's on Netflix now. Is it not so
it's
damn
so
good?
It's so good. They just started the new season 2 weeks ago. It's
on FX. I haven't seen it.
And you totally put me on it. It's about the ballroom community in New York back in the 80s when it was the height of it, you know? And then also the AIDS epidemic going around and people being positive and just dying. And watching it, I didn't realize how badly the gay community was treated, transgender people were treated, how they would just dispose of bodies out in big ditches, not even names, not even anything like that, just like boxes, and they would just bury them in this remote island because they didn't know what caused it, how to, you know, how it really got spread.
They just didn't care. And they just wanted to get rid of.
And it's so sad, but also eye-opening, you know?
Very eye-opening. I mean, and this is just a drama on Pose called Pose on FX. You know, this is based on. So there's, it's so much bigger than that, right? And I didn't know that until our friend Jason, who we're going to talk to, he told me about a documentary on Netflix called Paris is Burning. And Paris is Burning is about the ball community and drag and those who are gay, trans, whatever you want to call them or whatever they want to call themselves. And it's a documentary on it. So this is the real life thing. And it's so interesting. So if you like Pose, watch Paris is Burning on Netflix.
Okay.
Very informative and just a real look at that, right? And this is it was done in 1990. So But it's about the 80s.
Right. And I mean, like, voguing only became popular because of Madonna.
She stole from them.
Yeah.
And then nobody really knew. And, like, I didn't really know. So I would recommend watching Pose. It's a quick, easy introduction into that world. Paris is Burning would be the documentary that kind of probably inspired Pose. And then, you know how when you watch something on Netflix, it recommends like other things because you watch this, you know? So I watched Paris is Burning, it has like all these other documentaries that it recommended. And I started watching the documentary called The Death and Life of Marsha P. Johnson. And this was a gay activist. I'm not sure if she liked to say that she was trans. It wasn't very clear on that, but she would definitely dress up in drag. And it's about basically her, which is controversial, but murder, because she was one of those people who disappeared. She disappeared. And she was a huge activist in the community in New York, like huge. Like, she started a foundation. Like, people looked up to her. She was like considered a mom to so many of those who didn't have one. You know, she was one of those people that everybody knew and everybody loved. And the cops ruled it a suicide. And it was very hard for a lot of people to believe that because she didn't seem like somebody who would ever do that. You know, they talked to a lot of people and they're like, we're supposed to meet up that night. And then she just never showed up and she wasn't like, it just didn't match up. Mm-hmm. Plus, some people saw her being pulled out of the water with like a hole in her head.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so then the case just went cold, of course, like many of these cases did.
Right.
People never looked into it. It's just so sad because this is a real story. You know, this has really happened. And this honestly still happens to this day.
Oh, for sure.
And it's just really sad, you know, what the community goes through. So, again, this is why it's so important for us to support always.
And to talk about it,
yeah. So, why was I talking about the shows? I forgot. Oh, because it's been on my mind. And because that's been on my mind, I've been thinking about my own personal story. Not coming out, because I choose what I love is... is men, the opposite sex, and I appreciate the same sex, and I love beautiful women, and I can always tell them that, but I remember back in high school, that was my earliest memory of knowing anything about a same sex couple or anything.
Was it one
like
of your
that.
Friends in high school?
Yeah, so I was really close with my friend Heather, and she had dated boys before, and I remember, like, I think it was our senior year or maybe my junior year, I can't really remember. I remember it being a rumor that she was dating a girl, and I just could not wrap my brain around that. Like, and I don't know why, and it wasn't a hateful thing. It wasn't a disgusted thing. It was just like I think I was just confused, and I remember being mad at her.
Because she might be dating a girl.
Yeah, and it's like, looking back at it now, like, I'm so embarrassed, and I don't even know if I've ever apologized to her. But aww, if she hears this, I love you, Heather, and I'm so sorry, Heather. But I just remember it being a thing, like, between totally. My friendship with, I was her best friend. I just remember it being like, I was just so, like, that might be mad.
Well, that might be why you were mad too, is because, like, if you were best friends, why didn't she tell you? Maybe. But then on the other hand is like, that's her business, you know?
Oh, totally. So, God. And it's like, so if maybe, her best friend reacted like right. that, imagine the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it just makes me sad because I wasn't more supportive, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But I know that it was a new thing for a lot of people.
Well, I mean, I remember being in high school too and being like, oh, that kid's gay. You know, like,
yeah.
Like why about it? Like, what does it matter?
Exactly.
What does it matter?
God.
Honestly, what does it matter?
God, it just makes me sad because it's a reminder of what people go through every day.
Oh,
you know?
For sure. And honestly, like, nowadays, I mean, I know I talk about Ronan and Ava a lot, my twin niece and nephews, mm-hmm. you know, and the kids, because it's like, I don't want them to grow up in that same environment where they don't, where they're not open-minded, where they're not accepting of other people, or no. where they just don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, Ronan has, one of his friends has two dads, you know, mm-hmm. they're super nice, and mm-hmm. I love them, you yeah. know, and it was like one of his best friends in elementary school.
Yeah.
And so I remember him, the twins asking like, oh, well, how come they have two dads and don't have a mom?
Right.
You know,
right.
And Sheila is, we're super open with the
good.
Kids,
good.
You know, and we don't want them to feel like, oh, well, it's a bad thing at all.
No,
it's not a bad thing at all.
Or not talk about it.
Exactly.
And then it becomes like a secret. And then sometimes secrets can have like a negative
exactly.
vibe, you know? Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, a guy and a girl can love each other like mommy and daddy, or a guy and a guy can love each other and mm-hmm. have a family, and a mm-hmm. girl and a girl can love each other. Mm-hmm. It's just who people love. It's not, it doesn't make them bad people,
no.
you know, as long as they're good people and are nice to your friend.
Right. That's all
that
matters. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't learn that until later.
You
Dude, know, I didn't learn that until later. And
I remember, I mean, freaking being in Catholic school,
mm-hmm.
Vietnamese, you know, Asian, strict Asians, mm-hmm. and then being in Catholic on top of that, being mm-hmm. extra strict on that, and being in class one day, I think it was for my confirmation class, and we were talking about sexuality and stuff, and you know, my teacher would be like, oh, it's a sin to be gay. It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And I just remember
that thinking, blows my mind.
Right?
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
And
wow.
Yeah, I just remember thinking, like, what the F? Like,
yeah.
how is that? No, that's no.
Yeah.
You know, like, just being shocked by that.
Yeah.
You know, and
that,
then,
that wasn't even a thing.
Right. And it's like, how is that? How can you condemn somebody for that?
Oh,
you know, especially God. if God teaches love, hmm. you know?
Yeah, no, I get that.
So,
I still get that. To this day, I'm conflicted with my faith
yeah.
because that's a big part of it. You
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
Oh, God. There's a lot of things wrong with the Catholic Church that I got
problems.
You know, but then I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm like conflicted about the
yeah.
whole thing, you
yeah.
know? And
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So when did you, before that, obviously that was confusing, but what was kind of like your first like eye-opening experience with like the gay community or personal experience?
My very first personal experience with seeing a same-sex couple was when I worked at Dairy Queen. I was like maybe 15.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. This was the first time there were two customers that came in. They were ordering their dessert, whatever. I was making them like a blizzard. And I remember turning around and they were making out.
Wow.
And it was two guys. And I just felt like, shit, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd never,
yeah.
I was number one, super late bloomer, awkward. I never had a boyfriend, like never really kissed a boy or anything like that. So
okay.
anytime anybody was making out around me, I felt uncomfortable.
Right,
you know? And
right.
then having it be two guys that I've never experienced that before.
Right.
I felt bad like looking back because I was like, shit, I don't know what to do. Like I'm awkward, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they were really nice and mm-hmm. they just kind of like laughed and, you know, it feels like,
aww.
I was like a little kid.
Yeah. Oh, that probably hadn't even been a concept for you.
No. No,
yeah,
I mean, it's like, you know that there's gay people, mm-hmm. you know, but I've never seen it, witnessed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Mine was in high school. And then after my friend Heather, after that, it was like, that was like the introduction for me. And then eventually, like, I knew her girlfriend, and then it became just normal. You know, it just, it's like, it's just another relationship. It's no big deal, Tanya. Don't be afraid of it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think she really taught me that. So I'm grateful for that. And then after high school, you know, there are eight of us girlfriends that have been tight since like 1999. And just after that, one by one, just started, you know, doing their own thing and either coming out as lesbian or bisexual or no labels, you know, like to this day, literally it's half of my girlfriends are, you know, gay in some way.
Right.
And half of us are, I guess, straight. But like, I don't even like to say I'm like, I don't even like to say I'm straight. I am because I married a man and I love.
Right.
Well, I was attracted to men, but I do. I love love.
Love love.
And honestly, if I hadn't met JJ, I don't know where my journey would have gone. I wouldn't put it past me that I may have, like, I maybe would have dated a woman. I don't know.
Tons, when you get drunk, what people say, you know, like when you're drunk, your truest self comes out. When Tanya gets some drinks in her, she's very loving and wants to kiss Everybody
but
on,
like,
them lips.
I don't want, like, people to listen to this and think, like, I'm not unfaithful, first of all. Okay.
No, it's like a, like, between friends.
And it's with, like, my husband's with me. Like, he knows and stuff. Yeah, you know, I know. But, like, imagine if I didn't have a ring on it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Right. Like, I think that it's really beautiful that as time goes on, we are being more open.
Yeah.
And we realize that it's just love. Like, whatever exactly. You love, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Can we talk about how dumb that straight pride parade is, by the way, in Boston, that those guys are trying to do?
I'm sorry, what?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
There is a group of guys out in Boston.
Wait, I did hear about this, but I didn't really read all the details.
Who are so upset about gay pride and Pride Month and having a gay pride parade that they have petitioned to have a straight pride parade happening in August in Boston.
Why?
Because they're idiots, and they want the same rights to march, have the same parade route, and this and that. And it's like, do you even know why Pride Month exists?
Oh my gosh. You know? And I wonder, this is I learned this in Vanderpump Rules. Do you watch Vanderpump?
I'm behind.
Okay.
But
have you watched the one where Billy, who is trans, she points and is in a fight with one of the girls, I think it's Katie, and says that she has cisgender privilege.
No.
And when she said that, literally everyone was like, what does cisgender mean? Even the cast, like, was like, what does cisgender mean? And I finally looked it up, and cisgender alone means that the way you are born is what you feel, or something like that. I'll get the correct definition on that. And so cisgender privilege would have a negative connotation.
It's like having white privilege.
Like white privilege. So it's like, oh, like, you're just so privileged because, you know, you're so lucky that you're able to...
That you were born a girl.
Feel the way that you're born or, you know, exactly. So anyway, I learned that, and that parade reminds me of that.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's like, I think Chris Evans, Captain America, tweeted, he put it best. He said, wow, cool initiative, fellas. Just a thought. Instead of straight pride parade, how about this? The quote, desperately trying to bury your own gay thoughts by being homophobic because no one taught us how to access our emotions as children, unquote, parade. What do you think? Two on the nose?
That is so good and so true. Yeah. God, people.
Yeah.
Speaking of the pride parade, let's talk about the right one, which is San Diego Pride.
Coming up July 13th.
So June is Pride Month, but our San Diego Pride is not until July.
And why is that?
I don't know.
It's always been like that. It's always been in July.
If anybody knows the answer, feel free to slide into our DMs and tell us. July 12th through the 14th, but the parade is on the 13th, and it's always so much fun.
So
if you're not walking in the parade, watch the parade. I guarantee you will have the time of your life.
Yeah. And the feeling that you have just watching it.
Pure love.
Absolutely.
And if you don't know what that feels like, please go out to the parade. I'm telling you
now. And bring your kids.
It's a whole event. It's so fun. And the festival is super fun at Balboa Park too. I think this year, Melissa Etheridge is performing.
I was so mad at Miss TLC last year.
Oh, yeah. I saw TLC. Great. I was like, I have to go to TLC. Mad. Like, when am I going to see TLC? Yeah. Melissa Etheridge, King Princess.
King Princess is really good,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, and if you don't, and Snow the Product, who is up and coming, if you don't know who Snow the Product is, my friend Joe put me on Snow the Product. She's like a rapper, but she's legit. So,
okay.
Yeah, if you see her, good for you. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go this year because I work for KSON and they have Country Fest on the 13th.
It's like they're one of their biggest concerts of the year. Which happens to be the same day as Pride. Well, yeah. I mean,
it's fine.
I could potentially do the parade.
I could try to do both.
Yeah.
It's a busy day, so yeah. I don't know. On top of that, I'm going to be... My family planned their staycation that weekend in Carlsbad, so...
Oh, man!
I know. But either way, I want everybody to know that I stand with them. Yes. Always. Always. I don't need to have a parade. I will always stand with you. I will always march with you. And... I will always be an ally, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we both will.
We both will. And remember that for those of you who do go to the parade, who are marching the parade, it is more than just a parade. Mm-hmm. It is a march. Mm-hmm. And it's just remember what it is. And never, ever, we can't ever stop fighting. We can't. We just can't. And just want to let everybody know that Pride will always be like a holiday in my book.
Yeah.
And, I can't wait, like, to be out there with, like, my family. Yeah. You know, it will be a family event.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know who else is going to be at Pride?
Who?
Jason.
Oh, yeah!
Yes!
Yes, queen!
Hi, Jason.
Hi, ladies. You are looking gorgeous this afternoon.
Why are you lying, though? Why? Why? I just came from the gym. I'm sweaty.
Thank you so much for being on with us. I'm super excited because... you know you're our first male guest, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel so honored.
What we should do, Dorothy, is welcome to another episode of Real Wives and Husbands in Radio.
You're our first real, like, spotlight male guest. So we're super excited to have you on. If you don't know Jason, he is Mornings with Dana and Jason on Alt 94.9. You can hear him weekdays, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Or you could just follow him on Instagram and hear him all day.
Yeah, he's a great follow.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What's your Instagram handle?
Oh, it's Jason Prim, Jason with a Y, because I am difficult.
Okay.
So, Jason, we wanted to have you on because you're amazing and, you know, all those great things. But you are also known... Well, to me, actually, I've never heard of another radio host who's been out and proud.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so we wanted to talk to you about your story of coming out and your journey.
Okay, great. Awesome.
You're so official.
I know.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Well, I grew up in a small West Texas town. The son of a preacher man. Literally, my dad was a Southern Baptist preacher in a very conservative household. And I actually came out pretty late, I would say, but I know that people have come out later in life. And I...
How old were you?
Oh, man, that's a good question. It was 2006. So that's... 19?
19.
Yeah, 19.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was the summer after my freshman year in college. And I just had experienced, like, love for the very first time. A deep, deep love. It's actually who is now my husband.
Mm.
And we broke up. And I was going through literally the worst moment of my life and have no one to share it with.
Right.
And it's like these great, deep emotions that you're experiencing it, but you are too afraid to tell anyone because of it. And so I finally had... Oh, God, it's so gay. The gayest story ever. So I finally
<Tell us. laughs>
had, like, the moment and courage to where I was like, listen, I'm just coming out, and I can't stand it anymore. I can't be quiet anymore. And I was... What gave me the encouragement to do it was I was driving home from, like, a theater thing, and I was listening to Songs of a New World, which is a compilation of songs that the one man wrote. And the song was called... A New World, I think, but it's so gay. It's he's the whole song is about like there's a new world right across the ocean, and it's calling you. Wow. And all that stuff. And I was like, yes,
yeah,
there is a gay world out there right across the ocean. And so,
who did you come out to first?
Oh, the very first person I came out to. Oh man, Deep Cuts was my husband.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the first person I came out to because we were both in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first person I came out to was him because we started hooking up.
Right, yeah, right.
On theater trips and stuff like that. So he was the very, very first person. And we both were in the closet at the same time. And it was very, very difficult. And
that that must have been so hard.
Yeah. I was 17 and he was like 16.
Okay.
And to handle all the stress of keeping it a secret, I would be running 4 miles every single day. I looked so paper thin.
Yeah.
And all of his hair was falling out. And when you're in the closet and you're afraid that anyone will notice, you have to come up with a backstory of what you did all day.
Oh my God.
So you were constantly lying, constantly fabricating, constantly having. That's exhausting.
Yeah. And to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even like our best friend who actually was in our wedding, she didn't even know
that you guys were seeing each other.
Yeah.
So even someone, well, obviously, and your parents didn't know. I mean, like you guys had to really lie and cover all your bases to make sure.
Yeah. We used a lot of straight women. So thank you, lady. I'm sure that you dated some gay dudes back in the day.
I think I did.
So that's basically what we would have to do during that time. So he was the first one I came out to.
So after that moment of you listening to that song, you decided, all right, I can't handle it anymore. I'm gonna be out.
Yeah.
Who did you come out to then?
My parents.
Your parents. And what was their reaction? I mean, you're from Texas. Like Bible Belt area, right?
Yeah. Not good. It was not good. It was, when I said, I'm out, my mom's first reaction was, oh God. Mm. And then my dad said, once I start listening to Christ again, I'll become straight.
Oh God.
And then they said, just because it feels good doesn't mean it's right. So that was a fun comment. So they did not handle it very, very well. And I ended up walking out the front door and staying with a friend that for the weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't good.
I'm sorry.
Did you before, I know that it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. You listened to that song. It inspired you. Mm-hmm. It sent you a message. And that's why you came out to your parents then and there. But did you in your head already kind of prepare for maybe not the best response? Or were you not really thinking about that? I mean,
I was prepared for them to kick me out.
Okay. Okay.
And I started kind of laying the groundwork with my parents, just asking them questions like, is there any...
Oh, prior to this?
Yeah.
Mm. You were filling it out.
Yeah. Is there anything that I could do that you would just completely disown me? And they did like very dramatic replies.
Right.
You know, like if you go to jail because you murdered someone something like that. But it's interesting with parents is that, especially our generation, they went through... seeing the AIDS epidemic and getting a bad picture painted of our community by media.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they have known me, quote unquote, for 19 years of my life to be this one person.
Right.
And then for me to be like, no, I'm not that person. I'm actually this person.
Yeah.
It's a hard corner to turn for some people.
Yeah.
So, well, I want to know when they came around when did you come to this, like, you have like such a clear head now and you're so forgiving, you can hear it, you know, that you can understand why they responded the way they did. So, like, when was that for them and then when was that for you?
Okay. I, for multiple years following, we still talked. We didn't like have a cutoff or anything like that.
They
we
didn't
still,
disown you or anything like that. Okay.
You just moved out.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. And basically, they kept on saying, like, we love you. Or what's the fun thing that Christians like to say? Hate the sin, not the sinner. And so, yeah, that's what they do. And they would like compare it to alcoholism. Everyone has their thing. And so I terrorized their life for years because all of a sudden any negative or homophobic thing in media, I would just plant their faces on it and I would call them and yell at them.
What do you mean? Give me an example.
So like you would take it out on them?
Yeah. So anything that would happen, like in, let's say, protesters or anti-gay politicians or anything like that, I would just call them and take it out on them and yell at them and abuse them. I don't know when they turned, made the turn. I have no
clue. It was so gradual that you couldn't really decide or couldn't really tell?
I was
or...
so angry.
Oh, you didn't
even
see it.
I could only see red.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just could not... take it. I believe they did apologize for how they reacted, but I didn't hear the apology. And then they started becoming more and more invested in my gay life with my husband, them being obsessed with my husband and loving him and then loving everything that I was doing and like supporting every choice that I had. But I still didn't see it, and I still harbored so much anger and hate towards my parents. And I actually, when I came out to them and they reacted that way, I turned off the emotion behind the words mom and dad and what you associate with that and just looked at them as adults.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
So I cut that
protection,
love emotion.
You're protecting yourself.
So when did, like Tanya said, when were you able to let go of that hate?
Well, it actually all started, it began when I started working with Dana, the partner in the mornings that I, my friend, and she taught me about grace and showing grace to people. She is a woman of faith. She believes in, you know, a higher power and stuff like that. I still have major struggles with that, but she was just telling me about what grace is. And it just hit me one day because I was like forgiving some media person for saying something homophobic or something like that, and I was just like, they're just completely ignorant. And then I realized I'm giving so much grace to this person who I have no clue who they are, and I am not giving that same treatment to the people who raised me and who protected me and put a roof over my head. And then I ended up that night calling my mom. I'm just so
Oh, it's okay. No, Jason. It's totally fine. It's okay.
I ended up calling my parents that evening and I apologized to them for treating them like that for over 10 years. And I was like, I know you apologized. I know you guys turned the corner and I know you love your gay son. And I apologize from the bottom of my heart that I couldn't forgive you, but I could forgive this stranger who I didn't know. So that was the moment, and it was only 5 years ago or something like that that I just,
So what's your relationship with your parents like now?
Oh, God, I wish it was more distant. it was so much easier when I was harbored anger because now they want me to come visit them. Ugh, gross. It's really, really great, actually, because of coming out and having that break, I don't hide anything. I'm very upfront with them and they're very upfront with me and we're completely opposite in all ways, but I can call them out on their BS and they can call me out on my BS, and it's more of a relationship than what it was before.
A healthy one, because the communications there is open and you guys are not, no one's lying to each other anymore, you know. Everyone's just who they are and accepting.
And I was really proud of my mom because she really wanted to go to this small ass gay pride parade in Kansas.
Oh, is that where they live now?
And so she was so nervous, and she made her little sign that says, "This mom loves her gay son and is giving out mom hugs."
Oh, I love that.
And she like texted me before, and she was like, "Do you is your community going to accept me? I'm so nervous." Aww. And I was just like, girl, do you not know gay people? Yeah, get your ass out there with your damn sign and go give out some mom hugs.
Yeah. I mean, there was a dad recently, I forget where, but he was doing the same thing and it went viral everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And so she just held out her little sign and she was just so like shocked about the need to be hugged by a parent and to complete strangers. You know, my mom didn't realize what the kid misses out on and all that kind of stuff when, you know, I had a good story, and that's not even a good story.
Right.
They didn't disown me. I didn't get kicked out, but there's a whole population of homeless kids, LGBTQ youth that are on the streets because of it. So we have a really good relationship now.
That's great.
Yeah, that's really good.
I guess. I mean, now there's like expectation. Now I have to like buy a mom's gift.
Yes,
for
that's
Day.
Right, Jason. Yes, you do. You do.
You guys.
I do.
Lord.
I mean, and they've got to be so proud of where you've come in your life and in your career. Like, you're a host of a morning show.
Yeah.
Oh, you know? Yeah. Openly gay on your morning show, unapologetic. Yeah. And I mean, I you're right. I'm the same way. You're the first one that I've known in radio here in San Diego.
Yeah. In your career, because you guys came from New York.
Yeah.
Had you known of any other openly gay hosts?
In New York, one of the big morning shows, he was openly gay, but when he started his career, he was not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you find your community within this industry. And so when I first started, and I was just talking about my personal life, and then my bosses pulled me in and was like, that's a little too much. And what they were implying was it was a little bit too gay, and
really?
Like calm it down. And so I found other gay radio people, and I said, have you ever been pulled in and told like you can't talk about that? And so I got some mentorship through that, but there's not a lot.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
Yeah.
Did you feel like that, you know, your boss at the time was just stifling you guys?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, when I first started radio, I felt like what the image that they wanted was this fabulous homosexual who says, you know, like does the Z snap and goes shopping with you and wants to go makeup shopping with you and dresses with a bow tie every single day.
Just like a stereotype of what they think gay people are.
Yes. And I fulfilled that for the first year. I came into work every single day with a bow tie, coiffed hair, ready to go, sexually aggressive. And I had my friend Dana, who I do the show with, we were out shopping and for an outfit, and I just looked at her and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to be this person because this person is not me. I'm not fabulous. I look like a tired mom. I have a white wine addiction. I don't want to go out.
You know, what's so interesting is like, you know, all of your teen years, you were lying, you know, growing up, and then you're finally out, and then you have this great job as a morning show host. And then again, you're living, your life is a little bit of a lie. In the sense where they want you to be somebody that you're not.
She just read me.
I know.
Oh my God. Yo. Lord. I
didn't I'm woke.
I was like forced to be back in a closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. God. How many times can I cry?
This is an aha moment.
Lord. Yeah, it was. It was. But luckily, I was working with someone.
Look at Dopra.
I know. Dopra.
Oh, I like that. I'll take that.
Damn. Okay, sis.
Luckily, I was working with someone who loved me and was like, just be you and do you and be the person that you are, because that's what's going to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And so luckily, like, it's been a lot better.
Yeah.
But it's just very interesting being in radio, and you probably have faced this as well. Being women of color, is that there's a perception of who you are supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they listen to you, they think, then they go, wow, you're, you know, like, you're cool. Because people don't know how to use words.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And they do a generic vague word.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I thought you were going to be like this, but really you're like this because we have titles over our names of who we are, you know, and then you have to break that title and be like, just because I'm a homosexual doesn't mean you as a straight man can't connect with
me. Right.
So it's pretty interesting. To have to deal with that.
How did you and Dana come to be a show?
I stalked her. I do this thing called the breakdown method. I don't know if
What is it?
I did it with my husband as well.
Oh my gosh, this is a real thing.
Yeah. Basically, how Dana and I was an actor actually in Manhattan, living the life, not really, being very, very poor. And they posted on the internet for this job to be a personality, and they were looking specifically for a Jack from Will and Grace, someone fabulous and over the top. And so I went into the audition and I saw her and I said, Beyonce is the first thing I said because I had no clue what I was going into. So I didn't know who I was talking to or anything like that. And then I see this beautiful, gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
And the first thing that popped out of my mouth was, Beyonce, you are Beyonce.
When you saw Dana, I love that.
What did Dana say?
She went, oh,
she's probably scared.
I'm Beyonce. And so we went through a long audition process. I ended up not getting it. And they went with a fabulous gay who deserved it, and I was not fabulous. And it was, I ended up moving, once I didn't get that audition, I ended up moving back to West Texas to live, you know, a West Texas housewife life. And
with your husband?
With my husband. Uh-huh. He was going to law school. 3 years passed by.
Wow.
This is where the breakdown method
happens.
Okay.
I would send her Christmas cards every single year.
Oh, that's sweet.
I would
or scary.
Very scary. I met her for like 5 times and I was like, we're going to be
Beyonce
friends.
You screamed Beyonce at her?
I screamed Beyonce
at
her.
Did you send her Beyonce Christmas cards?
No, it was cuter. It was a gay couple with a little dog. I mean, honestly, don't everyone want that?
I love that.
And then, oh, I actually forgot when I didn't get it, I emailed her. When I didn't get the gig, I emailed her right afterwards and I said, does this mean that we can't be friends?
Oh my gosh. Just okay, that. So this is part one of the breakdown,
method. Okay, step one, take notes, you guys.
So, okay, you emailed her.
I emailed her.
3 years later.
3 years later, we're still in contact. She actually was trying to help me get into radio because I didn't have a radio pass. I didn't know how to do it whatsoever. So she was trying to get me into radio.
So she saw something in you.
Which is very, very like kind. She has like a huge career. She was at a legendary station in New York. And I was just like, oh, and she was one of the only female led shows in top 40 at the time. And so one day we were just talking on the phone. And I was like, what's a demo? Because I keep on looking at these audition listings for radio personalities, and they're like, send me a demo. And I looked up what a demo is, and the description is like, I have to have a game in there, and like something impersonal, and something like celebrity gossip.
Right, which you're saying audio from that from you've had from any of your radio careers or from your past, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And Dana proceeds to laugh at me, and then she goes, if you're ever back in New York City, like, visiting one of your friends, I'll do a demo with you.
Ooh.
Dude, she is, like, the best person ever.
Yeah. Ever. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever I'm visiting, cool. And then I hang up.
You booked a flight, didn't you?
For the next weekend. For the next weekend. And I texted her. I was like, hey, I'm coming up there. What's up?
Wow. Yeah. Breakdown method.
That's
again?
So breakdown
okay.
Method.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we record a demo together. And as we're recording it, it feels the exact same thing it felt like the first time I auditioned. Nothing had changed. And she was sending our demo breaks to her bosses.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, to her bosses. And just to be like, I know you love him, so here's what he sounds like still. Just, you know, if there's anything opening and all that kind of stuff. And unbeknownst to me, her current co-host was kind of wanting a change in his life. Mm-hmm. And so he was having an exit strategy out of her.
Out of your demos, huh?
Yeah, out of her current co-host was trying to leave kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mm-hmm. then so about like 2 months after we do this demo, I'm back in West Texas and I get a phone call from the radio station going, hey, we might have an opportunity for you with Dana. Are you interested in it?
Oh my God.
And
oh,
hell I said,
hell yes. Because at the time I was working at Gap, the retail store, as a manager. And so like the next week they flew me out, offered me the gig. I said yes immediately without even asking.
Yeah.
Or anything. I said yes, yeah. yes. And that's, we've been together ever since.
How many years has that been?
It's been like 6 years or something like that.
And inseparable. I mean, if you want to get to know Dana a little bit more, we actually recorded a spotlight episode with her.
Oh, it's fantastic. So
it's really, fantastic. Really, really good. I mean, if you listen to Oprah's super soulful conversations, mm-hmm. it reminded me of that. Because mm-hmm. just listening to her, she's just like one of those people where you could just, you get lost.
She's so much better than I am.
I didn't want to say.
You guys should actually do a show together. That would really take over San Diego.
With Dana?
Yeah, you guys really should, honestly.
Oh, stop. That'd be great.
Dreams.
Yeah, Dana's amazing. But you are amazing, too.
You are.
You both are amazing in your own ways.
We should just do, like, a foursome show.
Oh,
well, I
can
just be a side note. I'll just, like, pop in and be, like, the wacky character, and then I'm out.
Stop it.
I just want to. That podcast was really good. That episode was great.
It was really good.
Yeah,
it is. And so is this one. I'm like also getting lost in your story and all the lessons you've learned and everything, like all the corners you've turned and the transformation, the evolution. That's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know what you can do?
What?
You can experience yourself
when
you come out as a lesbian.
We actually talked about that a little earlier. And I just want to make things clear. If any of like my relatives are listening, okay.
Tanya's a big old lesbian.
I am not.
She put the L in LGBTQ.
I said earlier that if I don't, in my dating like journey in history, like I was like almost like just done, like just I can't do this anymore. And then I met JJ, thank God, like heaven sent. My grandma definitely helped with that up mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. But I was telling Dorothy that like I don't know like what would have happened, you know, if I hadn't met JJ. I may have looked everywhere else too, you know. I'm an open person, mm-hmm. so but that doesn't mean that I'm like.
I would like to formally announce that JJ is just a beard,
a big old beard.
And what that means is that it's a cover
that
up,
is
and
that not
is
true.
A loveless marriage. And on the weekends, she's down at the lesbian bar.
Oh, I do go to the lesbian bar sometimes on the weekends. I will say that with my lesbian friends. You're half true, half true. No, I love my man very much. I love my man very much, and I'm so grateful. But your journey is beautiful.
Yeah, I do have a question though. Do you feel pressure because you're out and you're gay? Do you feel pressure like to be that representative for the gay community?
They need to choose someone else, honestly. No, I think about that actually quite a bit of what I put out there as a human being, really. Because I am the first openly gay person here in San Diego to be on air, mm-hmm. And so like. I think about that, especially when I get messages from listeners who are just like, this is the first time I've heard a gay person on the radio. But if what I needed growing up was not like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy the first time mm-hmm. around, mm-hmm. I didn't need that. What I needed was to see what any other version of being a gay person was, because we come in many colors and shades, and I had only one thing, which was a fabulous gay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it would be a disservice to my community if I just wasn't who I am,
right.
Which is a huge disappointment.
Stop it.
Well, who are you, Jason? Who are you? Tell us who you are as a gay man.
Oh, as a gay man.
Yes. As a person, who are you?
I feel like this has like gone into therapy now by both of you. You guys are, I'll leave the $20 copay at the door.
Oh, sis, we're more expensive than that.
I come off very, why am I, God, guys.
I just imagine like a gay man or woman or who, yeah. anywhere in between is listening to you and, you know, it needs this person and no pressure. Who are you?
I come off very cynical and dark sometimes, but I'm extremely loyal.
Yeah.
And one big heart, very, very insecure, but knows how to play it off. And am trying to be the best person I could possibly be, who is not fabulous, who hates shopping, who does not want to go to a makeup store with you, but will go to a bar and have cocktails all night long.
Oh, I know.
Yes. Oh, Tanya knows.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she does.
Oh, Jason, well, first of all of that, I say you're just real.
You're
just real. You're being real right now because we're all insecure. We're all, like, we are, you're right. There is all of, you are in all of us, really, honestly. I mean, insecure, we could be dark, we could be, you know, but you have the biggest, biggest, biggest heart. And I do remember first meeting you and thinking, I really want to get to know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get to know who he really is. Like, let's, you know, because I know there was, I knew there was more. And
can
there
I
is.
Ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Is that, I'm sorry, I know that you guys are really killing this, by the way. Sorry, Dorothy, you did a transition, like, beautifully, and I was, like, lost in the transition that I didn't know how to answer the question because I was like, damn.
Yeah, you were so
I was like, damn. But do you feel like because we all come from different minority groups that there's this perception of, like, because I know with my being gay and all that kind of stuff, there's this kind of armor that we wear and we're like sassy and we're shady and we can read you to filth and all that kind of stuff. Do you feel that you have a shield from like the minority groups that you come from?
I think you might be right about that. I think the shield slowly starts to like fade and break after a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you get older, I think as I've gotten older, I'm just like, stop taking, you know, like just, I don't care as much anymore.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
true about
but
that.
But I think for sure I've had a shield and I still do.
Yeah.
I definitely still do. And some kind of armor and it's protection.
Yeah.
It's protection from things that we've endured like in our life or we've seen others, you know. So
Well, for me, I just always felt like growing up, like, oh man, all you see on TV is like beautiful white people, like blonde hair, blue eyes. Like that's what you want so hard, right? And you want to be the polite Asian girl that your parents raised you to be. And like Tanya said, as you grow up, you're like, man, forget all that. Like, I want, as my career goes on, like I want to represent for Vietnamese people, for Asian people, because it's not out there, you know? You get the stereotype of, oh, well, they're just smart little nerds or whatever, or they're unattractive. And I want to break that down.
Yeah. And you are, sis. You are.
Yeah, we all know you ain't that intelligent. Shoe girl. You have radio.
Right?
I'm
not a doctor.
Oh my gosh. You could be, though. You could be.
Yeah, exactly. Mesa College. What up?
I went to Mesa College.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also danced with you there, but you didn't know who I was. Anyway, that's another story. I think we talked about it episode one.
We did.
I think we talked about that episode.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I was such a bae.
You were. But anyway, Jason, thank you for sharing your story. Wait, give a shout out to your wonderful husband who I love so much.
Oh,
don't worry.
He's definitely my better half.
Oh, I was gonna say, I might love him a little bit more than you.
She should. He is so nice. He's like a pure Southern gentleman.
He is so sweet. I don't love him more than you. I love you guys both equally.
I mean,
but
if there was one to choose,
it'd
it would
be him.
Be him.
Okay,
yeah,
I'd be
honestly
allowed. Okay,
I choose him. Hey, babe. I don't know how to do shout outs.
His name is Jared, and he's so wonderful,
he's really wonderful.
The sweetest, and he's always been so warm and welcoming every time I've seen him. And
he brought me an egg salad sandwich.
Oh my gosh, he didn't bring me an egg salad sandwich. He might have
bought me beef. But you know what? I didn't go out and have drinks with him.
Yeah, I did.
Super jealous.
I know.
I know.
Oh my! I was like, how are these two bitches about to hang out without me.
Don't be that jealous. It turned real. We also talked about that in one of the podcasts. So if you want to go back and listen to that, I was, what did you call, we called it pasta drunk. No. I was pasta drunk that night.
Yeah.
He's wonderful. So how long have you guys been married?
We're coming up on our 1 year.
Ooh.
In July. But we've been together since high school.
Yeah. That's
so
a long time.
We've been together forever. Lord.
Yeah. But he's wonderful. If you're going to be with someone forever, he would be the
one. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And I know this is like cliche, but it's actually kind of scary about how obsessed I am with him. Like I said, if you ever try to run, just remember, I never get tired.
Oh my gosh. I believed that.
Breakdown method.
I'm sweating.
Yeah. He literally moved multiple states away from me and I followed him.
Okay. You know, Tanya used to be my bar, my meter for
crazy.
Yeah. I think you topped that.
I think so too.
You guys better be careful because I'll break down your ass. And then you won't ever be able to get away with me.
I'm scared.
You better be afraid.
I love you, Jason.
I love you
guys. You guys actually have like a kick-ass show. And I mean, I have so many opinions about that, and I really feel like you need a platform. I'm glad that you have a platform to share how talented you guys are, because you women will take over this world, and you need to get out there and someone give them like a show or something, and because your voices are severely missed within our industry. Like it is lacking with a two female led show, women of color.
Yeah.
Like that voice is missing. Not only, I mean, it's missing everywhere, but in radio, it's so far.
I love you, Jason, because I hear the same pep talk from you at least once a week, and it's wonderful. It's like a reminder. I'm like, thank you. That's why you're my friend. I love that. Thank you. He's like the best, like hype man. Like, you know, every week he reminds you. You're so sweet. Thank you. That's very, very sweet. Lucky for everybody, you can still kind of hear me, you know, on the air. Okay, every morning, you know, 5 a.m., 9 a.m. with John and Tammy on KSON. But you can hear Jason every morning a lot more than me, that's for sure, because he's one half of the show, Dana and Jason, in the morning on Alt 94.9, right?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, for the shout out.
Yeah, so where can we follow you?
Okay, you can follow me on all Twitter, Instagram, and if you want to add me as a friend on Facebook, I do that too.
Okay.
All at Jason Prim, Jason with a Y, and Prim, like prim and proper.
Okay.
Which you aren't, though.
I'm a dirty girl. Girl, I'm dirty.
Awesome. You can listen to Dorothy after both of those shows, 9 a.m. to 2
p.m., soon to be 3 p.m.
Ooh, we get you for another hour.
Extension.
Yes, on Kixie 96.5. And follow me on social media at Dorothy on Air.
Like,
what is my Instagram?
Yeah, and mine is at I'm Tanya Gonzalez, and ours, our podcast is at Real Wives in Radio.
Yeah.
I follow.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.